Dear friends, thank you for joining us this week. We continue with our series of Gnostic application learning labs, and we certainly have to do this because what we have learned through observation is that if we do not engage most people in the practice, they will receive the learning of the practice very well, but they will tend to not take immediate action, and then they missed the opportunity. Today, we would like to share with you a practice that has to do with imagination and willpower. Now, this is very important because, as you may recall from our lecture on the ray of creation, as the ray of creation descends from spirit to matter, it always runs and flows through the spheres of willpower and the mind. But the thing is that we have an incomplete definition of what the mind is. In most cases, we have an incorrect definition of the mind itself. And it is in our best interest to have the best concept on this idea of the mind so that we can see ourselves reflected on it. So that we can truly see how is it that our thoughts truly create an impact, not only in the immediate environment, but in those people who surround us. So let's start a conversation specific with the topic of the universal mind. Let's start by saying that it is important for us to live in community. We cannot segregate ourselves. We cannot create divisiveness. Samael tells us the worst type of heresy is the heresy of divisiveness. This consideration of them, this separation of us and them, of me and everyone else, it is problematic. There is not a chance that we can exist in a way that is constructive, edifying, and essentially dignifying if we embrace the heresy of divisiveness and separation. It is necessary for us to understand that in that sphere of thought, we exist and we carry ourselves in. Some scientists, many people tend to believe that the brain itself is the mind. But this is incorrect. Because if the brain were the mind, then the mind would be limited to the cavity of the cranium. The mind would be bound by the hard barrier of the cranium itself. And then that man would have no experience of his environment. That man would be trapped in a total darkness. That man would have no ability to recognize whether it is sound or light, perhaps its own thoughts. That mind would be completely unable. It would be incapable of perceiving anything. What kind of creature would that be? No one can exist trapped within its own mind. What the brain is an instrument of the mind. Within the Hermetic principles, we learn that the universe is a thought in the mind of the all. And what is the all? Well, as part of the Hermetic teachings, the all exists in all things, and all things exist within the all. And the teaching says, and he who understands this has received great wisdom. So our brain is nothing more than an instrument of the mind. It is a center that is capable of receiving those waves of thought from the mind, because the thought itself happens outside of the brain. We can certainly see that there is activity within the different sectors and the neural networks of the brain. Of course, it has to respond to receiving that energy, because the mind itself is universal energy. The mind vibrates. Samael is the one who tells us the mind vibrates and sparkles in everything that is created. So if the mind vibrates in everything that is created, and the brain is not the mind but a receiving center, then we would not err by seeing the brain as this quote-unquote radio telegraphic instrument that receives all of these messages from the mind. Again, the brain does not think. What thinks is the mind, and that is not the brain. So if we look outside ourselves, if we look at all that doctrine that exists surrounding us, it will not take us long to come to find that the world's greatest religions, they say that the human soul is dressed with flesh and bones. And the theosophists, and Samael tells us this, the theosophists, we can find this as well in the studies of Helena Blavatsky in her book, The Voice of the Silence, and we can see this in Isis Unveiled, and we can see this as well in The Secret Doctrine. They state that beyond the body of substance, that the soul itself has a mental body. In our case, many of us still do not have a solar mental body. But we have something that plays the role of the mental body. And today, that happens to be our ego. Because within our ego, we find our mind. Within the ego, we find our emotions. We find our desires. Within the ego, we even find our impulses. So we need to learn to make use of the positive values that exist within this ego, so that we can steal from our inferior aspects the fire that is keeping them alive. And as we steal that fire away, as we work with our Divine Mother to eliminate them, we can then liberate the consciousness from each one of those aggregates, allow the consciousness to coalesce within itself and create that permanent center of consciousness, so that we can then continue working, eliminating our values, and that then we can follow through with the elimination of all of our positive values as well. When we do that, opportunity to manifest itself in its divine planet. So the mind is universal energy, and the entire universe is within the human mind. So if the entire universe is within the human mind, the mind of my significant person, then the entire universe is also within your own mind. And what that tells us is that as we look at the collective, then all minds are within all minds. So if the entire universe is within the human mind, that means that all minds are within all minds. And we live within the thought spheres of everyone else. What that is saying is that your problems are not just your problems. Your problems affect us. Just like our problems affect you, the people that we see around us and we tend to dislike because of that mechanical antipathy, they are not separate from us. That entity that we are looking at and that we are rejecting exists within our own mind. And in the same way, we exist within their own mind as well. So this is why we need to learn about imagination and willpower. Because when it comes to imagination and willpower, both imagination and will are the extremes of the mind. On one extreme, we have imagination, and on the other, we have willpower. That willpower is of a masculine aspect. The imagination is of a feminine aspect. And when we unite them together, when we combine them in perfect harmony, the union of that masculine and that feminine principle result in the generation of a third neutral force. This is the base, the basic fundamentals of the law of Triyamashikamnam. The masculine and the feminine come together, and the neutral force emerges from those two. The positive and the negative come together, and the neutral emerges from them. So when we combine imagination and willpower, there is a neutral expression that emanates. And that neutral expression manifests by virtue of a centrifugal force. That neutral force ends up becoming our soul. So then we have to speak about mental action. How is it that we create things? Well, we receive these bouts of inspiration. We see these bouts of inspiration with the eye of the mind. But when we receive that impulse of inspiration, when we go through the experience of seeing the product of that inspiration itself, it lights in us the fire of longing. And at that moment, we can trigger our willpower. And the moment the spark of willpower starts, we start conceiving that thing that we saw in the eye of the mind with our creative imagination. It is that aspect of the mind, the one that gives shape to that concept. It is that aspect of the mind what gives shape to that particular idea. It is the one thing that helps us assemble and put it together so that we can dress it up with emotion, and then we throw our vitality into it, and ultimately we can condense it into tangible substance. This is exactly how the engineer creates. This is the same way that the greatest artists, whether it is Michelangelo or Van Gogh or Raphael, how they receive that bout of inspiration and they can see with the eye of the mind their artistic expression, and then they put to use the mind to give it shape, to give it form, and they are moved by that superior emotion, and with that they grab their mallet and they grab their chisel, or they grab their canvas and they grab their colors. And they invest of that superior emotion, and they use that their vitality to craft that art. Ultimately, we end up with a masterpiece. But that is not just the great masters. The same thing you do when you are inspired and you walk into the kitchen and you put together that great meal with all of your love for your family. We do the same thing when we are facing difficulties at work. And we are inspired with a solution, and we can then see the solution and we invest ourselves into it until we work towards materializing the solution itself. So this is how the action of the mind evolves. This is how creations crystallize. But not all that happens within the mind, because of our own humanity, is positive. Not all that happens within the mind is creative. And whenever we are irradiating thoughts of anger, whenever we are irradiating resentment, whenever we are carrying thoughts that are of a lustful nature, whenever we are deep into our laziness, identified with food and with havingness, and then we are just being gluttonous, all of those mental waves also affect the minds of all those around us. And that takes us to this thing that is known as mental epidemics. So Samael tells us, if a man thinks in either a good or an incorrect sense, let's call it a bad sense, then all of those waves that emanate from the mind, that emanate from this radio transmitting instrument, which is the brain, they reach the mental body of everyone else. Meaning, they affect the lunar soul of everyone else, the ego of everyone else. And you have experienced this. Because whenever somebody comes close to you, and you can feel, you can perceive that they are in a very bad mood, you feel it. Experience tells us that the natives of the elements of air, whether it is Libra or Aquarius, when they are close to someone who is in one of those dark mental places, they immediately feel it. They are so sensitive that in many cases, many of them feel the physical pain of these negative emotions. And because those mental waves that are not constructive, that they are certainly not creative and not dignifying, because they are propagated everywhere, when those waves are received by others, they start planting seeds that result in mental epidemics. So when we see a leader speaking of hatred, when we see a leader speaking of divisiveness, as their thoughts irradiate and affect the masses, we can see then how people then stand and take advantage of all of that mental energy, and then they express their darkest means of hatred. We see this in the destruction that has been plaguing the Middle East for thousands of years. We even see this today within our own society in the Western world. When this happens, what we are seeing is, as a result, a mental epidemic. This always happens when the imagination is used in ways that are incorrect. And it becomes worse when we offer ourselves to be directly influenced, so that our thoughts become influenced and that our emotions, following suit of those thoughts, start responding. Like, for example, when we go to a movie theater. When we go to a movie theater and we seclude ourselves in a dark room that only emphasizes the senses of hearing and sight, the hearing and seeing, what ends up happening is that we become bombarded with all of these images of gore, violence, lies, destruction, abuse, sexuality. Before long, we identify ourselves with the drama. We become fascinated with it. We cry in the movie. We become angry in the movie. We start issuing ill will, releasing mental waves full of hatred so that the villain in the movie becomes destroyed. We celebrate while we are trapped within that movie theater. When the villain is hurt, when somebody breaks their bones, when somebody shoots them, when somebody burns him alive, this is what we do. And as we do that, meanwhile, our mind is irradiating all of these thoughts that are certainly not dignifying to the essence, to the consciousness. But it's not just us. It is us into the minds of all those who are sharing with us in the movie theater. It is everyone in the movie theater doing the same because we are all within the same mind. So imagine what happens as those destructive images, as those destructive thoughts propagate outside of that movie theater, within that social area. Before long, people start getting angry. They don't understand why. Before long, as people get angry, they start seeing images of hurting others. And they don't realize that in many cases, what they are seeing are reflections within that collective mind that are being projected by others. They're not even their own thoughts. But we don't dedicate enough attention to even look at our own thoughts. So we just think things. And those thoughts, because the brain does not know the difference between what is inside and is outside, they start triggering cascades of chemical reactions that influence our endocrine system. And before long, we start becoming addicted to those images. We start becoming physically addicted to all those emotions because the body does not know any better. And the more we expose ourselves to that, the more our brain responds to all of that negativity, the more those hormones, those neurotransmitters continue to be released within the physical body and the cells. Seeing that overabundance of all those neurotransmitters that come with lust, with anger, the cells themselves start multiplying themselves with more receptors for all those chemistries. And when the cells have more receptors, then by the basis of what is known as the Le Chatelier principle, the body starts calling for more of those reactions so that it can satisfy its needs, so that it can saturate all of those reception points for the transfer of electricity, of that fire of life, of that prana. This is what happens. So the more we expose ourselves to that, the more we condition not only our mind, our ego, but the more we affect our bodies and the minds and the bodies of others. So we have to do something different. We have to give ourselves to good music, classical music, not just instrumental, classical music of the great masters. We have to expose ourselves to good literature, to good art. We have to expose ourselves more to the beauty of nature. We have to offer ourselves more in sacrifice of others. As we do that, then we start expressing thoughts that are infused with love. We have to start practicing more meditation. We have to make a sincere effort to dramatically revolutionize ourselves. And that way, we start fighting and not encouraging the development of more mental epidemics. This is what we mean by mental hygiene. this type of mental hygiene for us would become the best possible preventative medicine. So Samael says, cultivate wisdom and cultivate love. Samael says, pray a lot and pray daily. Speak to your innermost. Submerge yourself in meditation. Expose yourself to great works of art. Avoid all those things that are harmful to the mind. When we do that, we take care of our minds. We become agile enough to not allow evil thoughts to penetrate into the temple of the mind. And this is not my insignificant person saying. We're just conveying the message that the great master Samael has given us. So from where does this universal mind come from? How is it that this phenomena manifests? And how is it that we end up becoming part of all of this? Well, Samael tells us that this divine great reality, it emerged from within its own bosom with the aurora of the great Maha Manvantara. He tells us, the great reality does not know itself, but it can contemplate itself in the living mirror of all of the great imagination of nature. And as it contemplates itself in that reflection, then it comes to know itself. So when in that particular manner, in that aspect, Samael tells us, that mental vibratory activity, that activity that is created in which the great reality comes to know its infinite images, that is the way that it comes to experience all of its own creation and all of its cosmic scenery. Samael says, when all of this activity that is happening in the periphery starts manifesting, it directs itself into the center. Because as the great unmanifested reality unfolds and expresses itself and sees itself in the reflection of its creation, as it observes itself, all of that wisdom comes back into that particular center. And this invites us to remember that great passage that says that God is that thing whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere to be found. All of that wisdom comes back into the center, directed like that. As that force comes from the periphery to the center, in physics, that is known as a centripetal force. That is known as a centripetal force, a force that goes from the outside towards the center. But every action sees a reaction, and that reaction is in the same magnitude and in the opposite direction. So as that centripetal force of wisdom comes towards the center, from the center towards the periphery, there is a centrifugal force that manifests, and that centrifugal force then becomes the universal soul. So the intellectual activity of the universal mind comes from a centripetal force, and the reaction that follows, that resistance that it finds from the center itself, creates that centrifugal activity that is then that cosmic soul. So then the principle of correspondence tells us that the same thing happens within the microcosmic man. And if we retreat and we meditate, because we are driving all of that attention inwards, because we're bringing and driving that centripetal force towards the inner realm, then from within there will be a centrifugal manifestation, and that centrifugal manifestation becomes our own soul. The more you meditate, the stronger the force of your consciousness. So this is why we meditate. This is why we need to do our best to fall outside of the existing mental epidemic, of fighting it, of giving ourselves the right preventive medicine. Because when we do it, not only we are helping heal ourselves, we are also helping heal everyone else. Because we are all together within this very same cosmic mind. So now that we know that, how do we use our imagination? How do we use our willpower? Allow us to invite you to lay on your back. Find yourself a comfortable location, whether it is on the carpet, whether it is on a yoga mat if you have one, perhaps on the sofa in your own bed, maybe on that very same chair in which you are sitting and listening to this lecture. Make sure that you have close by your Gnostic journal so that you can take notes after this exercise is over. And as you do this, let's go ahead and start by relaxing our physical body. If you're sitting, please allow your legs to be relaxed and your feet to be flat on the floor. You can allow your hands to rest comfortably on your legs. Close your eyes. If you're resting on your back, the posture of the corpse is very useful for this exercise. Make sure that you are oriented with your head pointing towards the north so that you can take advantage of those very subtle currents that flow through the earth. And let's take a deep breath in, one, two, one, two, one, two. Let's go ahead and make use of the practice of the gnomes to relax our physical body, because that practice is so effective. And let's allow us to use our objective imagination so that we can see how our body is populated by an infinite amount of these little gnomes, and let them walk out of your body, out through the soles of your feet. And as we do that, immediately feel the sensation of relaxation on your feet, on your ankles, on your calves. Notice the relaxation, but do not identify with it, because identification leads to fascination. Continue observing these gnomes walking out the soles of your feet, and bring that relaxation onto your thighs. Your thighs are so important, because through your thighs you have your femoral arteries. And it is the flow of blood and prana through your femoral arteries what helps create a magnetization in your body. It is there where we see the union of the forces that come from above with the forces that come from below in that constant flow and in perfect harmony. So bring that relaxation onto your thighs and expand it into your glutes and your sexual organs. Continue to breathe without making any efforts. Just allow the flow of the breath to be natural, effortless. And as you continue to see those gnomes leaving your body out the soles of your feet, relax your abdomen. Use your objective imagination to bring that relaxation, the elimination of any stress, out of your organs, your intestines, your pancreas, your spleen, your gallbladder, your liver, your stomach. As you exhale deeply, continue inhaling and bringing this force of life, which is prana, and continue observing those gnomes walking out one by one, and relax the muscles of your chest, relax your shoulders. Relax down to your elbows, to your wrists, your hands, and your fingers. Notice how with each exhalation, you sink, your physical body sinks deeper onto the carpet. The relaxation allows it to sink deeper onto the mattress, to even sit more comfortable in your chair. Relax your jaw, your tongue, the muscles of your face. The muscles around your eyebrows, your forehead. Relax your eyes. Your lips. And allow that relaxation to reach all the way up to the crown of your head. As you do this, notice the subtle vibration that inundates your physical body, but do not identify with it. Just receive it with gratitude and gratefulness. And ingrain this experience in your consciousness, so that you can invoke of it later. Samael tells us that we should pray every day. And you should pray to your innermost, in the way that comes most naturally to you, without any artifices, with no formalities. All that is necessary is infinite love. Father of mine, God of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we beg of you for your guidance. Lead us through this exercise. Give us the opportunity to put into practice that superior willpower that comes from you. That objective imagination that you can influence. And we beg of you with our soul and our heart for the true experiential knowledge, for this experience, so that it can enliven the fire of your longing and give us strength and further motivation to continue on this great work. With that, make use of that objective imagination so that you can see with the eye of your mind a place that is well known to you. It could be a park. It could be the home of your relatives. It could be a lake nearby. It could be an archaeological zone that you have visited. But what is important is that you use your objective imagination to see that place, to extract every possible detail that you can gather from that place. And as you are seeing that place, make the most of the relaxation of your physical body and lull yourself to sleep. Be watchful of your transition from the wake state into the sleep state. But what is important is that you see yourself there. Be there. The result of this exercise is that you will unfold in your astral body. Your soul will be transported to that location, and you will be able to see, hear, and experience all of those things that happen right then and there. The time of waking up. Make use of your Gnostic journal. And in your retrospective exercise, Write down everything that you saw, everything that you heard, and everything that you experienced. Continue to see that place and see yourself there. And may all beings be happy.